Quincy, City Council President, Councillor at Large, Anne Mahoney, joining us for an update of the very first June 2026 meeting of the City Council. Hi, Anne.
It's gonna go fast the month of June. How are you doing, Joe?
I'm doing well, thank you. There's a lot going on, and it'll be
Yeah,
over before you know it.
it is. It's amazing, isn't it? The nice weather comes and we all of a sudden get so busy.
It's true, and then a little lull over the summer, hopefully.
Hopefully, yeah, that's the goal.
Not yet, though. Very busy again last night.
Yep, very busy again. So last night we started with a finance committee meeting, and the first piece was the requesting the administration to provide a two-year fiscal capital bonding plan for financial projections from the mayor's projects, for major projects. And that came in from Council UN, and it really came in at the same time the ANC piece came in, and it was really just because, as we know in Quincy, we have a lot going on, and it's sometimes hard to decipher where and how things are getting done. And if you don't ask questions, you might be surprised at where they're getting done. So this was really, there's new counselors, and I did applaud this. This is somebody who's just trying to get her arms around what is happening, and whether it's a two-year projection of what we're going to be spending or what the projects are that are going on. And what we got last night was a one single page piece from the DPW saying that this is the stormwater walls that they're doing down, the seawalls that they're doing down and man it down the neck, and very little information. And we got told verbally that the Della Chiesa will probably be about $4 or $5 million, and everything else, the presidential library and the performance arts center is not coming anytime potentially in the next year or two. Is really a year would be aggressive, was what Mr. Walker told me, and 2 years might be where they'll at for that. And you know, that's all great, but it's not actually in writing. These are verbal things that are being said, not always on as the meeting was going on, as we know that we had microphone issues. So we were challenged. We were having to stand up and yell because we had a really large audience of people that were there. We wanted to make sure they could hear us. And, you know, the thing is in a city the size that we are, we probably should be able to produce at least the current functions of what we're doing, where we're getting, where the payments are coming from, and being able to really show our financial footprint of where we're headed, and then also how we're going to be able to afford those things. And that's really what the nuance of what that resolve was. So that actually didn't go very far. At 6:30, 5, we had to move on to the utility hearings, the public hearings for utilities. And so there's no vote on it. There was no information on it. And it was carried over. And then public hearings for utilities. I actually had to step out of the room because that's when we were trying to figure out the microphones. And I didn't really hear what was going on for that. So I'm assuming that they did get a positive recommendation. And then we moved into the finance committee meeting, another one at 6:35, which was for Eastern Nazarene College. So that appropriation was for $22,500,000 for the college and land acquisition. And I think $1.5 million is for basically just getting them through the next 18 months is what they were saying for maintenance and things of that nature.
Okay.
Yeah.
A lot of discussion. I think there was an administration making a presentation on that. Is that right?
Yep. So the administration made a presentation on that, and Councilor Riley asked them not to do the full presentation. And it was appearing, I think it was, I didn't have the presentation. Usually we get the presentation given to us. It was really just probably boiled down from all of the materials we got from last week. And Councilor Riley decided to not let Mr. Murphy do his presentation, and felt that we had all done the work, and there was a lot of questions that we needed to get to. I always like presentations because you get an idea of where the administration's coming from, but the chair had decided that they wanted to move to the questions. I didn't have the presentation, so I couldn't even refer to it to ask questions. Some of the counselors had them, some of them didn't have them. I did not have it. And you know, we could have got that ahead of time too. It would have been nice to have that equally ahead of time before the meeting, but we didn't have that. And that's not a criticism. I think it's unfortunate because I think they put a lot of time into it. But they moved on to questions. And I think there was some really thoughtful questions that were coming from Councilor McGee questioning, you know, there was questions in regards to how much it was going to cost to maintain, how they came up with that number, maintenance after we take over the facility, the questions about the Arboretum, and the administration said they were going to save the Arboretum, but really in the plan, they're only saving 5 trees in that arboretum. And I think that was a disappointment to many of the people who had gone to the public hearing or public meeting that they had about a month ago. There were a lot of Q&A things that they were doing, and they were being able to talk to constituents at Central Middle School, I think is where they had that. And so there was promise of saving the Arboretum, but they're not going to be able to save all of the trees in the Arboretum, and that's too bad because those trees are very historic, just like the city of Quincy is. So then there was other questions that were going back and forth, and there was just a lot of conversations. And then right before, it was kind of funny, it was right when I started talking, the microphones went right back on. So I thought that was interesting because I sounded like I was screaming, but really I was trying to, if anything, what I was trying to do was level set a little bit of, it's less about, I truly believe that when we have projects like this that are put in front of me, no matter whether it's the city council or if it's in my day job or if it's in my life, we want to do something. This is what we're hoping to do. The first thing you have to try to figure out is whether or not it's in your bandwidth to be able to do it. Is this something we can take on? Is this something that we can afford? Is this something that, a once in a lifetime thing is a once in a lifetime thing, but the question is whether or not you can afford something in that lifetime, and if it's going to be too much of a burden. So, it's once in a lifetime chance for somebody to buy a house, but if they're not financially capable of buying that house, they might foreclose on that house, and that dream is over once that happens. And it's really no different than this type of a project being put in front of us. And we had a lively conversation and productive conversation, but what I wanted to bring it back to is simply we have 1.8, when we got elected, we had $1.6 billion worth of debt, and we have $1.8 billion worth of debt now, and it's rapidly growing, and it is eating into our operations budget. It is. And we don't have a distinct understanding of how the DIF is working. And I've been working with Director Della Barber and the assessor's office to get some of this information, but they haven't really come back and been able to do that yet. And unfortunately, they're piecing these things together at the same time that we're talking about all these things. So there's a lot of moving pieces of the puzzle for the finances of the city of Quincy. But we had, I just wanted to make sure people understood, like we were selling, there's another piece that we were selling. We're selling two parcels in the downtown, the Messina lot that we bought for $6.8 million, and we had to buy that, and another lot that's over where the ice skating rink has been for the last couple of years, which has been part of the city, has been a parking lot for quite some time. And I think it was supposed to be part of R3, but they didn't want to go down that far, which is the Paddy Barry corner. That area was supposed to come around, and it didn't work out. So they were developments that were talked about for that. And I know that I think it's Mr. Slater was going to do the Performing Arts Center in the Messina lot. And these things have changed and evolved over time, and no explanation as to why or why not they're not working out. And now the Performing Arts Center is going to go up to the Monroe Building. And this is what I mean about that conjoining information that we have to really look at to see what the costs are. And it's my concern because the downtown is a specific long-term budget and investment strategy that the city has well been involved in for the last 20 years. And if we're taking pieces of the puzzle out of it to buy or sell off to buy ENC, it seems a little strange. Plus, we have a lot of debt. That $6.8 million isn't going to go away. What they were saying was it's about 4.2 they're going to get for the property. So that's concerning as well. But again, these are just my concerns. They're also my fellow colleagues' concerns. But we are trying to keep an open mind for it. So last night's meeting was lively and passionate, and we moved into the regular session of the meeting. And that was, yeah, I will say that there was some alleviation of some of the feelings that people were having, because we had the opportunity to honor Master Sergeant John DeLorenzo from the Junior RTCO leader, and it was quite moving in the room because he had all his students and some of his past students that came out, and it was really electrifying. And it just is amazing what he has been able to develop and do over the course of his tenure here in Quincy. So that was a really, it really kind of level sets the room and makes you feel a little bit more like this is what we're here for. This is the stuff that we pride ourselves in Quincy for, and made me very proud to be standing there but also amazed at like how fast the time has gone. So that's the other piece of it. So that was a great piece. And then we went on to Open Forum. And Open Forum, we have it, it's new. We want to hear from people. We heard from a lot of people last night, a lot of passionate people who came out, and they gave their 2 cents for ENC. Some were very articulate about what they were saying. Some were very angry about what they were saying, but still our ears were open and we were listening, and that does help. And I will say that we had as many, if not the same amount, but we had as many people coming out to talk about other things, and also that were not necessarily in favor of ANC. So they were getting booed, and that's not always a great feeling. So it's just really, we should be respectful and all asking for respect. We should be providing respect for the full course of what we're doing. We don't have to agree with each other, but we should probably try to listen to each other. And that's what we were really trying to accomplish there. We also had several really, I thought, heart-wrenching stories from parents from the early intervention program that is down in North Quincy, in front of, it's actually in Squantum, right in front of the Nickerson Post is a little white building, and that's where the early intervention, I think it's Aspire that's in there. And they're getting moved out because I think that's a building that the mayor had proposed to do a historic site for Native Americans. But this is a lot of families that have premature babies to early intervention goes from, birth to 3 years. And it's really a key critical step for some of these children that really need those and the families that need that help. And it's not daycare. Sometimes people think it's daycare, but it's really these kids need those helps and the family needs the help to be able to get them to a point where they can start to achieve goals on their own. And when they do enter our public school systems, they're ready to go into that system and to be able to thrive. Without those services, these kids will not necessarily have the ability to thrive. It might take them years longer to be able to get there. And this is a service that was has been there for the last, I want to say, at least 20 years, if not longer. And I think they were down there for a very cheap lease is what was going on down there, I think. And what we were hearing, or at least what I had heard, was that the administration was looking for spaces for them around the city, but they hadn't found them. And I think we're hoping that the conversation will stay open and that they'll be able to at least extend their lease until at least December before they can find another place for them to go. So
Okay, is that a city-owned building, Ann?
I believe it is a city-owned building. Yep.
Okay.
Yeah, and it's unfortunate because it's a program, it's a state program, but it's a program that we should all be really, if you needed the services, you would understand why it's so critical in the community to have. I think we can all agree that when somebody's in the need of help, that's what we should be doing. And these families are, I'd encourage people to go and check those out because it's if you need it, you would want that service to be there for you.
Okay. So is
So.
the city moving ahead with the plan for the Indian tribe?
Not sure. I just know that they're being the Aspire group is being moved out of that building. So my
I see.
assumption would be yes. And again, we and as a city councilor, I can't give you that answer because I don't know. And we could go right back to Susan Nguyen's question, like what are we doing in the city of Quincy and how are we doing it? That's strictly how things are being looked at like that. But we did, like I said, as I said, we had a lot of speakers. It went much longer than 20 minutes. I think we were back into the regular council meeting probably around 8:30, quarter of nine. So it was, and then we went back into the finance committee meeting for that. So from there, I will say that the microphones were working, so that was good. And the lack of information that we were receiving, that there was a lot of questions that were being asked. Maybe having a council made up of to be able to do ENCs, maybe make a council put together with residents and councilors to make sure that things are getting that being able to get done the way they want to get done. First time home buyers was questioned and how they'd be able to do that. The fact that we haven't seen the assessors. Determination for the assessment of the property, how it was assessed, capital planning concerns. Again, we didn't have the 2-year comprehensive plan for it, but then what else do we have that might be coming down the road? Because if you really, we're really extending ourselves right now. And I know the city likes to say that we can keep borrowing. And I think a lot of people can get into that situation where they just take out a credit card, keep borrowing, keep borrowing, keep borrowing, and then something happens. And you don't have that resiliency to be able to go back. Well, in a city, you can go back and just tax the taxpayers. And right now, our commercial and our real estate, our personal real estate, are getting kind of close to the level there, and even in the split. And we don't have a lot of commercial coming into the city. We have a lot of development that's happening, and it's still costing the taxpayers a lot of money. We have a lot of infrastructure things that need to happen, and we have a limited amount of money that we can really put out there. So I think what the counselors were really looking for is, what are the other dispositions that we can have to sell off? We had a presentation about that as well. There seems to be many avenues that we could go to for that, and I'm hoping that is being heard from the administration too, because this once in a lifetime deal needs to be done in a way that is affordable for the taxpayers of the city of Quincy. Once we take this over, and we're not realtors, we're not developers, we're going to be taking over the very thing that developers were saying they didn't want to purchase it for in the first place because it would be too expensive and non-conforming and too hard to be able to develop in that area. What we're saying is we can do a better job and develop that. But that's not what typically municipalities are. We're not the developers. We need to make sure that we're not taking something on today for what we say is $22 million. Hopefully it will be net zero in 5 years, but what other investments are going to go there? And we want to make sure that that's coming back to the council too. And I know that was a discussion that was had last night too, but I will say that there's many things that don't come to the council and haven't come to the council in the past. I think we bought the marina in the city, and that went through the parks board. It eventually got to the council, but it was after the fact that it was purchased, and where the money was coming from was COVID. And there's just a lot of those types of things that didn't come before the council. And that was brought up, I think, by Councillor Riley too. Like, maybe it would be better to come to the council before we have these discussions to kind of understand and flesh out what we're doing and how we're going to be able to do that. But overall, I mean, it was a tense night, but I think in the end, it was a necessary night. We had to have this conversation. It had to start at some point. It came in very quickly. We came in the same night the budget came in, and we're halfway through the budget, and we're just getting to ENC now. And we have to move quickly on this because our hands are a little bit tied by the deal that was struck at the table. So we ended the finance meeting. We went back into the regular council meeting. It was a very busy night. So I don't know if I was having a hard time keeping up with myself. So after that, we went into the order and appropriation of contracted services for the city budget. This was introduced from Councillor McGee. This was simply saying, basically, many of us have deferred our raises, and there's a need potentially for whether it's research or it's whether it's skills that we might want to have. And it's not a terrible idea. I think it's actually that the administration right now and the council chambers are very busy, and there's limited people to be able to get us the information that we need. And sometimes it's even just collaborating with bringing somebody in that might be able to collaborate and be able to get that stuff and do that, because it's coming at us really fast, and we're not there all day, 7 days a week. We're working in our communities, we're working at our jobs, we have our families, we're doing the best that we possibly can. But there's a lot of questions and a lot of answers that have to happen, and these meetings are happening rapidly, back to back to back to back to back. So you want to make sure that while you're doing this, you're taking a look at maybe how another community is doing it, taking a look, being fair about your job. Am I being too narrowly focused when I'm doing this? Having somebody else with a different set of eyes being able to look at it can sometimes help. Other communities do that, and it's also, in Councillor McKee's defense, she was also suggesting, like, sometimes it is counterintuitive. We feel like we're trying to work with the legislating arm of the city, and we do want to work with the mayor, but sometimes it doesn't feel like we're getting the information we asked for, hence a 2-year capital plan. So it's those types of things. That did go into finance, and there was some conversations about that. I think she wanted to try to pass it last night. I wasn't aware of that because it did say a recommendation to pass and move into committee. So that's where it went into. It went into finance. The reason why she wanted to pass it, I think Councillor McKee articulated that, she wanted to get it to the mayor to see if the mayor would say yes to it, because we're in the budget season. So this normally would be something that was done a little bit earlier, but just like ENC didn't give us a lot of time, sometimes we can't give a lot of time to the other side. So I think that's where that was coming from. Then what happened, Joe, was really unfortunate. What we got to at the 11 o'clock hour, and we have been staying till 1:30 for budgets, and we were going into the section of the reviewing of open meeting law. And it got the council took a vote to go past the 20, Council Rule 24 to go past 11 o'clock, and two of the councillors voted no, so we were not able to do that. So now we have to kind of juggle to see how we can get that back on the agenda. I know in the past, open meeting laws have not been treated the same way in other, whether it's planning or zoning or any place else that they've come to. In particular, with the way they've come to us, we're trying to be completely transparent with it, putting it on the agenda and having the discussion for it. So we have a certain amount of time that we can do that in. I'll be looking into that today and seeing if I need to reach out to the Attorney General's for an extension. It's not a big deal to ask for that extension. Our next meeting, I don't think, is until June 15th. But it's just unfortunate because we could have it was ready to be discussed last night, and we could have had it discussed. Plus, we had several things on the agenda last night that could have got passed, like the auditor was ready to be passed to give her permissions back. So all of these things are, again, works in progress. And unfortunately, I know that the people who put in the open meeting laws were upset because they had stayed the whole night and wanted to see what's going to happen. And no, unfortunately, these things happen. It didn't. I would have liked to have stayed too, but we'll get it back on the agenda and we'll take care of it. So, at the end of the day, it was a very busy night, and very charged tonight. And we have to get the microphones fixed. I would like to see those fixed in City Hall, and I would like that to be a priority because obviously it's not just the people at home that are listening, but also the people within our community that are coming to the meetings, and they couldn't hear either. So that's just an unfortunate thing, and that's certainly not a QATV thing. I think that is definitely an administration, one of the things that we need to fix. Both, I think it's in both places too. I don't think it's just in the council chambers. I think it's also downstairs in the planning board too. They just have really it's beautiful rooms, but they didn't account for the acoustics or the what the rooms are going to be used for, which is truly having meetings like we're having. So, which is unfortunate. So, yep. So that was pretty much the whole meeting. It was, I definitely had I we also got one thing I didn't touch on is we got the fiscal year draft fiscal year 25 budget. And the diff is in that budget was we're running at a negative like $1.8 billion. It was $1.8 million, I think it was, but we're running at a negative. And not only that, but the operating budget was also running at a negative, and they had to do a lot of transfers at the end of the year in fiscal year 25 to balance the budget, and they still had a negative $3 million in the budget. So that could get backfilled with free cash or whatever else that needs to be done. But this is the structural part that I'm talking about when I say the general obligation. But the general obligation budget is being taxed by the debt that we're using, we're taking out, because it's going to be 15 years at like $90 million we're paying back. And every time we take a dollar out, it's going to make it harder and harder to make sure that that budget's working without either cutting services eventually or taxing people more. And that is really what the job of the counselor is, to make sure that we're looking at all of those things, not just neighborhood, but citywide, to make sure we're covering those bases, to make sure you're getting the services that you've been promised and that we're still living up to the expectations of what we're delivering for the projects that we do invest in.
So, how
So,
did the Eastern Nazarene College order finish and last night?
it finished in the sense that we were getting late in the night, and I think Councillor Riley knew that I think she has another meeting scheduled for this. I don't think the intention was probably not to get to a vote last night, was to get some questions answered. Now that we've had that dialogue, I'm sure many of the councillors, like myself, will be reaching out to get a little bit more, areas that we might not have talked about that we might be able to. Like, I do know that if the way the bonds are, the way the order is written right now, I would want to put some more structure around that order. So I will definitely be reaching out to Mr. Walker or whoever I need to speak to about that, because I think we do have to do that. And then also the concerns of we're being told that everything's going to come back to us at every point. But again, those are nice to say, but we're going to build them into the plan that we're talking about, and then really flush out some of those things. And I think that Mr. Walker was taking lots of notes when he was sitting next to me. So I think it was the ears were we were all our ears were all open, and we were all listening. And I think that's the most important thing.
Okay. And then just one other question about the appropriation request for contracted services for the city council budget. There's no dollar amount attached to that, is there?
I don't think I think I have to say that I'm not sure. I think it might be 35,000.
Okay. It's not in the initial order, so I wasn't
I
sure
think
on
it's
that.
a counselor is what she was, 2,500 a counselor, 25,000, 2,500 a counselor. And it's not a lot of money, but it would be like the meal, like the line item for meal, something like that.
Gotcha. Okay, very good. Okay. And finance tonight, right, for the budget?
Finances tonight for the budget. Yep, it
All
is.
right.
Yep, it's QATV and the City Council for the month of June.
Next full council meeting, you said, is the 15th?
I believe it's the 15th.
Okay.
I feel like all the dates are just blurring into in my head. I don't know why I'm thinking this, but I think once you get to the 24th, we're clear.
Okay. All right. Well, we'll catch up on the 16th if that's okay.
That sounds great. Thank you very much, Joe. I really appreciate it.
Oh, you're welcome. Thank you.